Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan De Burka Butler is with us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the world. Afternoon,
Sean. Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Peru we're going to go to next, where the election has taken place, but a lot of fallout from it.
Yeah, I mean, Peru, I know I always say it when we talk about Peru, but the politics there is just amazing. It's such a drama. It's a soap opera. You know, they've had 8 presidents in the last 10 years. 4 of them have been impeached.
Yeah.
3 of them have been thrown in prison. One of them is still in prison. So all of this is going on with the backdrop of all of that. And so last Sunday they held their elections, their presidential elections and Senate elections, I believe, as well. There was no fewer than 35 candidates altogether, right? So no surprises to see that the top candidate only got 17%. However, the name Fujimori, okay, Keiko Fujimori, yes. So this is the daughter of the former President Alberto, who was very controversial president between 1990 and 2000. He ended up being thrown in jail, actually, for 25 years. He only served 17 of those years, I think, but very controversial figure. And this is the 4th time that his daughter has run for the presidency, right? She's got to the runoff every single time, but has been beaten by sometimes 1%, sometimes just 3%. And all 3 candidates that beat her into the presidency have all ended up in prison, right?
So that's
what you're up against.
Why
right?
would you want that job?
So that's the starting point, okay? Yeah. So she came out top in the first round. The real controversy is what's happening behind her in second place, right? Where you've got a man by the name of Roberto Sanchez. He's a left-wing candidate. And as it stands, he's polling at 12%, okay? So he's got 12% of the vote with 93% of the votes counted. Now, I had a look at the opinion polls, and he has done between 3 and 7% better than opinion polls expected him to do. So he's kind of come out of the blue. There was no opinion poll that had him in second place or third place, 4th or 5th they had him, okay? So the guy who's next behind him, a man by the name of Rafael Lopez Aliaga, is on 11.9%. He's 10,000 votes behind him.
Right.
So naturally enough, he's screaming fraud. Right.
Yeah.
Now, he tends to be on the right of the political spectrum. But it has to be said that the voting was a little bit all over the place on Sunday. So the vote was supposed to take place on Sunday, but it had to be extended into Monday. That's because voting materials and polling stations voting materials weren't delivered on time. So polling stations couldn't be opened in various places. And of course, this was great for Aliaga, who's now gone on this campaign to say, you know, this vote is void and it needs to be stopped. It needs to be repeated. Unless, of course, he ends up winning.
Is there any evidence that that has happened? Or, you know,
we know that there were polling stations that weren't opened.
Yeah.
So, in fact, they had to extend it into the Monday, right? So about 50,000 people were affected. Now, bear in mind that the gap is only 10,000 votes.
Yeah.
So with 50,000 people affected, that's a significant amount. The European Union, their election observer mission is basically saying that they found no evidence of fraud.
Okay.
They said, okay, that there was, you know, weird stuff going on in terms of polling stations not open. But I think they actually said that that was nearly a good thing in many ways, that, you know, they didn't have the right provisions in place. So they decided to stop it and then just allow it to go on the following day.
Mm.
Now the Electoral Commission is saying they're not going to give the final result until the middle of May. And that's a while away yet.
Ooh.
Yeah. And with the election runoff scheduled for the 7th of June, I think, you can expect plenty of drama between now and then.
Is there any reason why it takes such a long time? I know it's a...
Well,
big country,
absolutely. Yeah. In this instance, it's because of those delays because they want to be really careful that, you know, the accusations of fraud that are being put to them aren't true, I suppose.
Yeah.
So they're gonna take this vote by vote and make sure that that count is okay. Because as I said, you have to bear in mind those opinion polls, as I said, you know, Roberto Sanchez, who's now in second, and he was nowhere near these numbers in the build up to the vote.
Well, I mean, as we all know,
things happen.
Polls can be wrong, as we know, in this country,
any
others. And given there were so many candidates, I like, do they have like monster raving loony type candidates going forward, or
I guess I'm going to say yes, yeah, because there's just so many of them.
Well, isn't there one who was like their a Porky Pig?
Well, this is the nickname for Lopez Aliaga,
right?
Who's the guy in third who's protesting. This is a self-proclaimed nickname. If you have a look at pictures of him, you'll see why he calls himself Porky Pig.
All right, I suppose they're fair juice to him leaning into that.
Yeah.
Right, okay, South Africa we're going to go to next. I suppose more political turmoil. Mm. Opposition leader gets 5 years in prison.
Julius Malema is the person in question, right? He's in his mid-40s. He's the leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters. Now, that's South Africa's fourth biggest party. They usually get around between 10 and 15% of the vote, or have done since their founding in 2013, I think it was. You might know him because he was the guy who appeared in that video in the White House. All right. Do you remember the video that Trump had spliced together, or his assistants had spliced together? And he showed it to Cyril Ramaphosa, and there was quotes of this guy Malema saying, "We're going to occupy land, we must never be scared to kill." And then there was a song that was shown after it called "Kill the Boar," which he was seen singing. So he's a controversial figure, and himself and a group that call themselves AfriForum, they're kind of a representative group of the Afrikaner minority there. Have always been at each other, right? So this group, AfriForum, have been at them for years around corruption. Mm. In this instance, they were the ones who pushed for a case to be brought against him for firing a gun at a rally. Okay, so he did this years ago, 6 years ago, back in 2018, the EFF were celebrating their fifth anniversary at a football stadium in Kugompo City. And he, in a celebratory fashion, as his defence has said, shot the rifle up into the air. Just, you know, we're great, and shot them up in the air. But nothing was.
Actually, also extremely bullets come down.
Oh, they do. Yeah, it's extremely dangerous. Yeah, absolutely. And so he got caught doing it, and it went viral. So there was evidence there. So this group, AfriForum, said, "Well, if nobody else is, you know, going to make a criminal complaint against him, we will. Mm. We don't like him anyway. But acting like this is not on." So he was convicted last year on five charges, including lawful possession of a firearm and discharging a weapon in a public place. And now he's been sentenced to 5 years. So that happened just last week. There.
So the fraud allegations that didn't really come to anything?
The fraud allegations were a good few years ago. I think they dated back to before he was in the EFF, actually. I think he was a member of the ANC, and the ANC actually kicked him out.
Right, okay.
So he's always been a bit of a divisive figure, a bit controversial. I don't know if the corruption allegations went anywhere in the end, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they seem to have got him on this. That said, he can appeal. And he was given leave by the magistrate, a woman by the name of Toinette Olivier. He was given leave to appeal against his sentence, but not his conviction. But obviously the defence lawyers have come out and said that they're going to try and appeal against the conviction as well.
Yeah. So. And the economic freedom fighters, are they growing in support in South Africa?
I wouldn't say they are, to be honest with you. From what I've seen is that their numbers are fairly stagnant at around between 10 and 15%, and they're staying in that fourth position. But this guy has a cult following behind him. You know, he would be very left-wing. And would put everything down. I mean, what's interesting about this, when he came out after the sentencing, he didn't say that this was politically motivated. He had a little rally in front of the courthouse.
Interesting.
He didn't say it was politically motivated. He said it was racially motivated.
So he's still pressing those buttons.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Australia we're going to go to next, where, is this the first in the world that someone's been convicted
no,
of?
No, I think it's the first in Australia.
First in Australia, right, okay, yeah. This is for deep fake porn.
Yes, so they brought in a new law in 2024, I think it was late 2024, basically, which criminalises manipulation of sexual images and carries a maximum penalty of 7 years. So there's various things, actually. Sharing content, you get 6 years. Sharing and creating, you get a maximum of 7 years, apparently. The case in question involves a 19-year-old man. Now, the reason I hesitated there is because there's two things about this individual that have really sparked interest in him in the media. One is he's so young looking, right? He's a boy.
Yeah,
really. Yeah. He is a man, right?
Yeah, but he's 19.
And he's 19. But he's so young, right? Yeah. And the other thing that really sparked the interest in him is the fact that he went to a private school, right? He goes to a place called Mercedes Secondary School, pays 20 grand a year, or his parents pay 20 grand a year. So it's a classic one of these things, rich boy gone wrong type scenario. And what did he do exactly? Well, what he has admitted to and now pleaded guilty to is creating deep fake pornography, excuse me. And he admitted to four offences on Wednesday, right? So he pleaded guilty to creating or altering sexual material without consent and distributing it between October 2024 and February 2025, as well as using a carriage service, so social media, in a harassing or offensive way. Now, I don't know the full details of it, to be exact, but all I do know is that there was a victim involved. So not
right,
victims.
So it was somebody he knew.
So have to assume, okay, even though the names haven't been given, that it was probably somebody he knew. He did it when he was 18. I'm also assuming that it was done while he was in school.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's extraordinary,
Yeah. So they're really going down hard on him. There was, rightfully so, there was a period where they were reluctant to release his name. I assume that would have, because it would have identified what school he went to, and then would have made it easier to possibly identify the victim. But they've decided to do this, and now he's going to be back in May, and he has another hearing to look into his sentencing and to see where it goes from there. But it'll be interesting to see whether they make an example of him, or whether, you know, they'll say, oh, first offence, you know, we'll go easy on you. I would imagine it'll be the former rather than the latter.
Yeah. Is there a degree of, you know, they're playing whack-a-mole here, that for every, you know, William Yates that they convict, there's probably 100 other people doing it and are going to get away with it.
There is. I imagine there is, but it should be said that the Australian government, or more specifically the E-Safety Commission, are on a campaign to try and stop these so-called nudifying sites.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they've shut down three of them already, apparently, for non-compliance. Well, I don't know how you comply, but anyway, for non-compliance. And they were getting something like 100,000. They had gotten 100,000 visits. So it's part of this campaign that they've been at in the last, what, 6-9 months in Australia to try and protect children predominantly, but I'm sure every part of society, from the ills of social media and AI and deep fake pornography and everything that goes with it.
Yeah. Right. India, we're going to go to next. Now, occasionally, actually, Jonathan, you have brought in stories that about workplace safety concerns in India and Bangladesh and surrounding countries. A fireworks factory.
Yeah.
You can already kind of see it's not going to go well.
Yeah. And it's not the first one. This particular incident took place in Tamil Nadu. So it's a state down in the south of the country. And 25 people were killed in an explosion at this factory called the Vanaja Fireworks. It happened on a Sunday evening when the factory was supposed to be closed, but apparently 25 workers were in there working away on the premises at the time. A second explosion happened as ambulance workers and doctors were trying to get in to help people. So you can imagine that, scuppered the rescue attempts. As I said, it's not the first time this has happened. Actually, earlier this year, in February the 26th, 21 people died in the state just to the north, Andhra Pradesh, again in a fireworks factory. So, you know, they're popular fireworks for weddings and festivals and various things like that. But there are major safety issues in lots of aspects of Indian work life. I was looking at some stats before I came in there, and between 2019 and 2025, there were 22,000 workplace fatalities. Now, I know it's a big country and there's a lot of people, but that's a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it is a hell of a lot. But specifically, problems with fireworks factories isn't the first time this kind of thing has happened.
No, not at all. As I mentioned, that incident back in February, and there's a long list of them going back, right back to the 1980s from what I could see earlier.
Yeah, right. California, we're going to go to, finally. I remember when these people were arrested. I think they've been convicted. Weirdest scam ever.
So you remember them being arrested. So this is three men: Alfia Zuckerman, 39, Ruben Tamzarian, 26, and Vahe Mudarakian, 32. They pleaded guilty. They're going going to be spending 180 days in jail, and they're going to have 2 years of supervised probation. And this is basically for a scam in a bear suit. So the idea they had was they sent somebody in a bear suit to attack luxury cars. These were old cars. So one was a 2010 Rolls-Royce Ghost, and this happened in Lake Arrowhead on the 28th of January 2024. They put in a claim for this and two other claims for two high-end Mercedes models as well. But biologists at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife reviewed the footage. Apparently the footage went viral. And determined it showed a human in a bear suit rather than a bear going in and ripping these cars apart. The claim was for $141,000. So that's about 120 euros. I don't know if it was paid out, to be honest with you. But it was quite a bit of money, but they didn't get away with it.
Yeah, indeed. Right, so what's going to be happening over the next week or so?
So if you're travelling to London, just be aware that from today until Friday, there is a tube strike.
The RMT,
Mick Lynch's old crowd, he's retired now, are holding strikes there on the tube. And then on Friday, the Michael Jackson biopic is going to be released. Will you be reviewing that on Movies and Bits?
I imagine we will be.
It'll be interesting. Okay. And then on Saturday, April 25th, so that Trump is attending the White House Correspondents Association
dinner.
That's
where they stand and make jokes about themselves or get roasted.
That was the one where, this is the place where, if you remember it, they say that that's where his campaign started because Obama, I looked at it the other day, Obama absolutely roasted him. This was just after the birth certificate incident.
Yeah, yeah.
That was back in, 2011, I think, or something like that. Obama has a lot to blame, to be blamed for.
Well, it'd be interesting to see, because I think Trump has refused or not attended the White House Correspondents Dinner on previous occasions.
I wouldn't be surprised. It'd be a bit too much for his ego.
So interesting to see what he's going to say. Yeah. And, oh God.
Yes, and then on Sunday, 40 years ago, the Chernobyl nuclear disaster happened.
Yeah, indeed. Right. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Thanks,
as ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.